Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days God, the Lord, made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. Let's listen for the word of God. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So perhaps you have heard the poem by Lynn Unger that has gone viral, no pun intended. Tammy used it for one of the daily mailings during this time, and I'd like to read it now. The poem is called Pandemic. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel, cease from buying and selling, give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny that now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. This poem was written by Lynn Ungar, and she is a Unitarian Universalist minister. Note that she begins the poem talking about the Jewish Sabbath. So often we associate Shabbat or Sabbath with Judaism, but this command is for all of us, Jews and Christians. She, Lynn Unger, gets at the heart of Shabbat, as does Jesus in our story from Mark. Mark tells us that when confronted by the Pharisees about his disciples breaking the Sabbath law, Jesus says, "The Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath." Let's examine this fourth word, remember the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. I'm going to use our scripture readings and this poem as our guides. So here we are on the Sabbath day making time for God. Have we honored the fourth word? We are remembering the Sabbath day. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're keeping it holy, right? Holy means set apart. How have we set this day apart? Sister Joan Chichester tells about visiting Grandmother Chichester on Sunday. She tells us that, and I'm quoting, "Absolutely nothing happened on Sunday except church, Sunday school, and the family meal." Sister Joan didn't like being at her grandmother's on Sunday, but she learned an important lesson that, and she tells us, life is about more than noise. Life is about listening to the music of the soul. And from the poem, sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. We can learn how to practice Sabbath from our Jewish brothers and sisters. My home is an interfaith home. My wife is Jewish, and we belong to a synagogue. Every Friday evening that we are home, and lately that has been every Friday evening, we light candles and say the prayers over the candles, the wine, and the bread. This ritual moves us from secular space into sacred space. We don't always keep the Sabbath as well as we could, but we do recognize it as a different time. We burn Shabbat candles in a special candle holder. We usually use a special tablecloth. We drink wine from special glasses. We have challah, and we make a special meal. Stanley M. Horowitz and William H. Willimon tell a story in their book, The Truth About God, The Ten Commandments in Christian Life, of a basketball player on the team where one of the authors went to high school. This young man was the star of the team, and he was described as the key of the team's success. But if a game was scheduled on Friday night, the team played without him. The authors remark that, quote, his absence on Sabbath was a witness that something else had hold of his time, something more important than basketball. The 1981 movie Chariots of Fire tells the story of Eric Liddell, a runner chosen to represent Great Britain in the 1924 Olympics. Liddell is a devout Christian, and he runs for the glory of God, and he learns, to his dismay, that the heats for the 100-meter race will be run on Sunday. He refuses to run, citing his Christian observation of the Sabbath. His determination made headlines as the Prince of Wales and the British Olympic Committee pressured him to change his mind. A solution was found that allowed Liddell to run on a different day. And from the poem, what if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? A few years ago during Lent, we read a book by Matthew Sleeth called 24-6, with the subtitle, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. Sleeth is a doctor, so of course he's going to give us a prescription. But some of us remember watching the DVD where Dr. Sleeth ripped the page containing the passage from Exodus that we just read. He ripped it out of the Bible, crumpled it up, and threw it on the floor. When people gasped, both on the DVD and in the study group, he said something like, that's what we do when we don't honor the Sabbath. Wow. We were upset that he ripped a page out of the Bible. He wanted us to be upset that we don't honor the Sabbath. Okay, but how are we supposed to honor the Sabbath? Eugenia Gamble, in her Bible study, Loved Carved in Stone, suggests that we consider the 10 words as a love letter from God to the community. The fourth word tells us how to treat the Sabbath. We are to treat it as holy. We aren't supposed to work. Now, did you note in the passage we read from Exodus, who isn't supposed to work? Not you, not your sons or daughters, not your servants, not even your animals. Did you hear God's radical inclusivity? Sabbath is for everyone. God provides for all. This community includes everyone, not just Israel. The immigrant or stranger who lives among you is supposed to refrain from work too. Gamble tells us that each of the 10 words addresses a wound. The wound addressed by the fourth word is the wound of busyness that substitutes for holiness and achievement that substitutes for identity. Let me say that again. The wound addressed by the fourth word is the wound of busyness that substitutes for holiness and achievement that substitutes for identity. That might be hard to hear in a country where we think of busyness almost as a badge, a signifier of all the important things we do, and achievement as the reward for that busyness. And from the poem, give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. But keeping Sabbath is more than just not being busy. Many of the words of love speak to us as a community. And keeping Sabbath includes worshiping together as we continue to do, despite our inability to be physically together. The practice of Sabbath keeps community together. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. Hardly deny it now. In the passage we read from Mark, Jesus reminds the Pharisees that the priority is always on human need rather than on moralistic law. And by saying Sabbath was made for humans, humans weren't created for the Sabbath, Jesus is saying that the Sabbath is a gift, not a burden. A gift. The laws of love are gifts from God. Marva J. Dawn, in her book, Keeping the Sabbath Holy, and that's holy as in completely, suggests that the gift includes ceasing, resting, embracing, and feasting. Let's look at each piece of this gift. What are we to cease from? Marva Dawn suggests we cease not only from work itself, but also from the need to accomplish and be productive, from the worry and tension that accompany our modern criterion of efficiency, from our efforts to be in control of our lives as if we were God, and finally from the humdrum and meaninglessness that result when life is pursued without the Lord at the center of it all. In other words, we cease from thinking that we are in control and remember that God is in control. And haven't we experienced so much of that lack of control these past months? There's a wonderful Yiddish saying, man plans, God laughs, and boy, is she laughing now. There is resting, and not just physical resting, but spiritual resting, emotional resting, intellectual resting, and social resting. Martin Luther wrote that, quote, the spiritual rest which God especially intends in this commandment is that we not only cease from our labor and trade, but much more, that we let God alone work in us, and that in all our power do we do nothing of our own. A day set aside for prayer and meditation, Marva Dawn tells us, is a great gift for emotional healing. When we set aside the concerns of our work, we give our minds a rest. By our embracing of Sabbath values, we set this time aside intentionally. We set the intention to be mindful about how we do what we do. Again, Marva Dawn tells about having guests for brunch after a Sunday worship. At the end of the meal, the woman among her guests began clearing the dishes. And Marva Dawn asked her, please don't do that. No work was to be done in Dawn's house because it was the Sabbath. She wanted her guest to be free to enjoy the celebration of a work-free day. What this tells us is that we are not going to do what everybody else does. As we saw, Eric Liddell didn't run. We embrace the values of the Christian community, and we see these values in the book of Acts, where the early church gathered together, ate together, spent time in prayer for one another. To be a Christian community, together we need to spend time together. We embrace time instead of space, people instead of things. We embrace giving rather than acquiring, and we embrace God's wholeness, God's shalom. So we've ceased. We've rested and we've embraced. And finally, Marva Dawn tells us there is feasting. We can feast on music, on beauty, on food and affection. We can enjoy and deepen our relationships, embracing each other in what Dawn calls godly affection. Among my favorite Sabbaths were the two I was lucky enough to spend in Israel with a group from our synagogue. We spent the first Shabbat that we were away in Jerusalem, a city that takes the Sabbath very seriously. It was difficult to find a restaurant for dinner on Shabbat. What a surprise, in a big modern city, everything was closed. The second Shabbat was very special. We spent it on a kibbutz. We were staying in a little apartment that had a kitchenette, and before sundown on Friday evening, our refrigerator was filled with food for breakfast and lunch. No one would cook on Shabbos. We attended morning service, and we spent the rest of the day enjoying the beauty of nature and the company of the people with whom we were traveling. Now, that was a Sabbath feasting on beauty. Sabbath gives us time for visits and hospitality, for enjoying each other's company. We aren't planning to do anything else except be present. In Lynn Ungar's words, do not reach out your hands, reach out your heart, reach out your words, reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. And here I thought if I went to church and had a day of rest, I had the bases covered. As those of us in the women's circle learned this past year, each of the commandments has so much to teach us. May it be so. Amen.